Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth describes the True Woman Movement.
We are believing God for a movement of reformation and revival in the hearts and homes of Christian women all around this world. I believe that God has given us an opportunity today to be a part of His great redemptive plan for such a time as this.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth, author of Adorned, for July 20th, 2018. Starting in March, Nancy began walking with us through the True Woman Manifesto in several series. If you missed any of these foundational messages, you can hear them at reviveourhearts.com. You can also read the True Woman Manifesto for yourself. Today, Nancy gives us the final message in these series.
I'm so thankful for the way that God has used this series in my own life as I've taken each of the 35 or so statements in the manifesto and fleshed them out and studied them out and drawn scriptures together that make these points and then communicated them through this series. Over and over again, I found the Holy Spirit searching my own heart as I've processed and tried to internalize the points in this manifesto. So it's been for me a source of encouragement and a source of challenge and conviction as well. Now, for those of you who may have just joined us recently, let me just remind you that the True Woman Manifesto is an attempt to make a concise statement of core aspects of what it means to be a true woman of God. Now, this manifesto is not the Bible. Its principles are drawn from Scripture, but it's just a lens, a way of looking at some of the foundational aspects of what it means to live as Christian women. And we started out early in this series laying a foundation, which is true for everyone's life, whether male or female. We talked about the authority of Scripture as it reveals God's pattern for our womanhood. And we move from there to various points that talk about what is God's intention and design for our lives as women, and how can we best fulfill that? It's been so encouraging to see the response to this series from many of our listeners over the past several months. For example, one woman wrote and said, "Thank you so much for the programming you've been doing recently, going through the True Woman Manifesto." She said, "I've been passing printed copies around to the women of my church." And let me just remind you that we have copies of the manifesto available. It's just a simple little brochure. It'll fit in a number 10 size envelope. And we want to encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity to share this message with others in your church or your small group or Bible study. This woman went on to say, "Biblical womanhood and being a true woman for Christ is the glue holding my marriage together." And I loved hearing that because this message really does impact and affect every area of our lives. It speaks to the way we think, to our worldview, our perspective, the way we respond to pressure, to our values and our priorities and our commitments and the way we talk to women and to men, the way that we show respect to others created in the image of God. Every area of our lives is impacted by whether or not we live out God's design for our lives as women. And in this case, this woman said, "Understanding these principles has actually been glue that has held my marriage together." She went on to explain why that was true in her case. She says, "I don't know if you remember me, but I am the impassioned atheist who met Christ almost 2 years ago. Married to an atheist. Still married to an atheist. And only Jesus can receive credit for that." Here's a woman who was living in a difficult circumstance. She came to faith out of an atheist background and now living in a marriage with a husband who is hostile to the gospel. She is finding that the grace of Christ is sufficient to enable her to be God's true woman in that difficult marriage. And I want to just underscore the importance, the necessity of the grace of God as we seek to live out the principles that are found in this True Woman Manifesto and in the Word of God. Some women have responded to this series at points saying, "This just is too difficult. It's too hard. I could never live up to all of that." And you know what? They're right. They can't live up to what's in this manifesto or what's in the Word of God. And nor can I, nor can you. We cannot be God's true women on our own. We don't have the capacity, the desire, the ability to be this kind of woman. And that's why we've tried to stress throughout this series that we are utterly dependent on the grace of God and the power of His Holy Spirit living within us to be the kind of woman that we're talking about. If you've had a chance to attend one of the True Woman conferences that we've had, you know that the True Woman Manifesto is a centerpiece of that conference. Throughout the weekend, we've encouraged women to read the manifesto prayerfully and carefully, to consider what it says. And then in the closing session of the conference on Saturday morning, we've had a ceremony to affirm this document. And I can remember back to the first time when we shared the True Woman Manifesto at the True Woman 08 conference in Schaumburg, Illinois. And just what a powerful moment it was as the points in the first part of the manifesto were read by individuals who had had a part in that conference. And then as we joined together, thousands of us, to say, "Yes, Lord, we want to be women who reflect the heart of Christ in this way." And how thankful I am for the way that many, many of those women left that conference and are now spreading the message of biblical womanhood, calling women to be true women of God, and using this manifesto as a means of doing that. As we bring this series to a close, we want to share with you portions of that closing ceremony, and I want you to imagine that you are one of the women in that audience of thousands of women who gathered in Chattanooga, and I want to encourage you over these next few moments to join with those women in listening to and then affirming these principles based on the Word of God, and to say from your heart, "Yes, Lord, I embrace, I affirm, I accept these principles, and I want them to be a part of my life."
The True Woman Manifesto is a personal and corporate declaration of belief and of consecration and of prayerful intent to the end. Here's the objective, here's the goal, that Christ may be exalted and the glory and redeeming love of God may be displayed throughout the whole earth. That's the goal, that's the burden. And I've invited a number of people who participated in various ways throughout this weekend, some of the speakers, some of the sponsors, those who served administratively behind the teams, others to join me on the platform and to lead us in reading through the first portion of this document, an expression of our corporate affirmation of these statements. So I want to ask you to follow along as these women read and lead us through the first portion of the document, and then we'll provide a chance for you to respond. So starting here with my friend Dana.
We believe that God is the sovereign Lord of the universe and the creator of life, and that all created things exist for His pleasure and to bring Him glory.
We believe that the creation of humanity as male and female was a purposeful and magnificent part of God's wise plan, and that men and women were designed to reflect the image of God in complementary and distinct ways.
And we believe that sin has separated every human being from God and made us incapable of reflecting His image as we were created to do. Our only hope of restoration and salvation is found in repenting of our sin and trusting in Christ, who lived a sinless life, died in our place, and was raised from the dead.
We realize that we live in a culture that does not recognize God's right to rule, does not accept Scripture as the pattern for life, and is experiencing the consequences of abandoning God's design for men and women.
We believe that Christ is redeeming this sinful world and making all things new, and that His followers are called to share in His redemptive purposes as they seek, by God's empowerment, to transform every aspect of human life that has been marred and ruined by sin.
As Christian women, we desire to honor God by living countercultural lives that reflect the beauty of Christ and His gospel to our world.
To that end, we affirm that Scripture is God's authoritative means of instructing us in His ways, and it reveals His holy pattern for our womanhood, our character, our priorities, and our various roles, responsibilities, and relationships.
We glorify God and experience His blessing when we accept and joyfully embrace His created design, function, and order for our lives.
As redeemed sinners, we cannot live out the beauty of biblical womanhood apart from the sanctifying work of the gospel and the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Men and women are both created in the image of God and are equal in value and dignity, but they have distinct roles and functions in the home and in the church.
We are called as women to affirm and encourage men as they seek to express godly masculinity and to honor and support God-ordained male leadership in the home and in the church.
Marriage, as created by God, is a sacred, binding, lifelong covenant between one man and one woman.
When we respond humbly to male leadership in our homes and churches, we demonstrate a noble submission to authority that reflects Christ's submission to God, His Father.
La insistencia egoísta de hacer prevalecer nuestros derechos personales es contraria al espíritu de Jesucristo, quien se humilló y sirvió sin esperar nada a cambio, y ofrendó su vida para salvarnos a nosotros.
Selfish insistence on personal rights is contrary to the spirit of Christ, who humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, and laid down his life for us.
Human life is precious to God and is to be valued and protected from the point of conception until rightful death.
Children are a blessing from God, and women are uniquely designed to be bearers and nurturers of life, whether it be their own biological or adopted children, brothers or sisters, nieces and nephews, or other children in the sphere of influence.
God's plan for gender is wider than marriage. All women, whether married or single, are to model femininity in their various relationships by exhibiting a distinctive modesty, responsiveness, and gentleness of spirit.
Suffering is an inevitable reality in a fallen world. At times, we will be called to suffer for doing what is good, looking to heavenly reward rather than earthly comfort, for the sake of the gospel and the advancement of Christ's kingdom.
Mature Christian women have a responsibility to leave a legacy of faith by discipling younger women in the Word and the ways of God, and modeling for the next generation lives of fruitful femininity.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. And they're going to stay with me up here on the platform as we now come to our opportunity to join in responding personally, saying, "Yes, Lord," to these "We Will" segments of the manifesto. Now, just to set that up for us, I want to acquaint you with a term that strikes me as being really appropriate for what we're about to do. You may have heard the phrase, "Nail the colors to the mast." Are you familiar with that phrase? The origin of that phrase was in the context of naval battles. A sign of surrender was to lower the flags or the colors that identified your ship. And nailing the colors to the mast meant that those flags could not be lowered. It indicated that you had no intention of surrendering. You intended to win the battle or die in the attempt. So, nail the colors to the mast is a phrase that has come to mean to make a firm declaration of what you believe. The implication is that the declaration may not be popular, You may be criticized when you nail the colors to the mast, but you're saying, that doesn't matter. I believe in my cause. I've committed myself. I've taken a stand, and there is no turning back. C.T. Studd was a British missionary in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, and there is this paragraph in his biography that I think speaks so powerfully to us as we get ready to nail our colors to the mast. He said, "Nail the colors to the mast. That is the right thing to do, and therefore that is what we must do, and do it now." What colors? The colors of Christ, the work he has given us to do. Christ wants not nibblers of the possible, but grabbers of the impossible by faith in the omnipotence, fidelity, and wisdom of the Almighty Savior. Is there a wall in our path? By our God, we will leap over it. Are there lions and scorpions in our way? We will trample them under our feet. Does a mountain bar our progress? Saying, "Be thou cast into the sea," we will march on. Soldiers of Jesus, never surrender. Nail the colors to the mast. Are you ready to nail some colors to the mast? Then let me ask you to stand. And as I lead us right where we left off in the manifesto there, as I come to each of these points, I'm going to ask you, if this is an expression of your heart, please do not say something that is not in your heart. We don't want to make hypocrites out of anybody, okay? And this is between you and the Lord. But if you desire to join those of us here on the platform in saying, "Yes, Lord," then as I read each of these statements, just affirm by saying, "Yes, Lord." Believing the above, we declare our desire and intent to be true women of God. We consecrate ourselves to fulfill His calling and purposes for our lives. By His grace and in humble dependence on His power, we will seek to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes, Lord.
We will gladly yield control of our lives to Christ as Lord. We will say, "Yes, Lord," to the word and the will of God. We will be women of the Word, seeking to grow in our knowledge of Scripture and to live in accord with sound doctrine in every area of our lives.
Yes, Lord.
I want to hear this strong, okay? Because you're going to need that conviction when you get out of here. Number four, we will nurture our fellowship and communion with God through prayer, in praise, thanksgiving, confession, intercession, and supplication. That's better. We will embrace and express our unique design and calling as women with humility, gratitude, faith, and joy.
Yes, Lord.
We will seek to glorify God by cultivating such virtues as purity, modesty, submission, meekness, and love.
Yes, Lord.
We will show proper respect to both men and women created in the image of God, esteeming others as better than ourselves, seeking to build them up and putting off bitterness, anger, and evil speaking.
Yes, Lord.
We will be faithfully engaged in our local church, submitting ourselves to our spiritual leaders, growing in the context of the community of faith, and using the gifts He has given us to serve others, to build up the body of Christ, and to fulfill His redemptive purposes in the world.
Yes.
We will seek to establish homes that manifest the love, grace, beauty, and order of God, that provide a climate conducive to nurturing life, and that extend Christian hospitality to those outside the walls of our homes.
Yes, Lord.
We will honor the sacredness, purity, and permanence of the marriage covenant, whether ours or others.
Yes.
We will receive children as a blessing from the Lord, seeking to train them to love and follow Christ and to consecrate their lives for the sake of His gospel and kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
We will live out the mandate of Titus 2 as older women, modeling godliness and training younger women to be pleasing to God in every respect. As younger women, receiving instruction with meekness and humility and aspiring to become mature women of God who in turn will train the next generation.
Yes, Lord.
We will seek opportunities to share the gospel of Christ with unbelievers. We will reflect God's heart for those who are poor, infirm, oppressed, widows, orphans, and prisoners by reaching out to minister to their practical and spiritual needs in the name of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
And we will pray for a movement of revival and reformation among God's people that will result in the advancement of the kingdom and the gospel of Christ among all nations. As a pebble dropping in the water sends out ripples, our desire is that the ripple effects of this weekend would touch every corner of the earth. For Christ's name's sake and for the sake of his glory and the advancement of his kingdom. And Lord, I want to pray for my sisters. Thank you for their earnest, eager hearts, for their yes, Lord, hearts. And Lord, we're here as your handmaidens to say we love you. We worship you. This is not about us. This is not about true woman. This is not about revive our hearts. This is certainly not about Nancy Lee DeMoss. I am so weak. But you are great. And you are strong. And I pray that as a result of what you've done here this weekend, that the women of the church of God would arise. Arise as mothers in Israel to trust you, to obey you. And when we fail, as we will, remind us that we're nothing apart from Christ. That all of this is only possible because of his redemptive suffering and death and work for us on the cross that made it possible as he died in our place. For us to be clothed in his righteousness, to be credited with his righteous life, and to have his Holy Spirit living within us. Oh, Father, may we never think we are anything. And when we think we are, remind us that we aren't. And keep pointing us to Christ. It's all about him. In Christ alone, we stand, we serve, we love, we give, we weep, we pray, we go forward, we go back into our homes, into our churches, into our communities, standing alone sometimes, but never truly alone, because our hope is in you, O Christ. Amen.
That's Nancy DeMoss Walkemuth in the final message teaching through the True Woman Manifesto. If you missed any of this extensive series, I hope you'll visit the archives at reviveourhearts.com. That's also where you can read the True Woman Manifesto for yourself. This series really lays a biblical foundation for us to understand our identity as women, why God created us, how he saved us, and how he wants us to live in the world. Nancy's book, Adorned, does that as well. It's an in-depth look at a few verses in Titus 2, but those few verses are packed with meaning for us as women. Some people call this Nancy's magnum opus, the book that's been inside her for years and has finally come out. And it just won a Christian Book Award from the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association. It was named Book of the Year in the Bible Study category. You can check it out for yourself. We'd like to send you Adorned when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. That's right, a hardback book for your donation. You can support the ministry at reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959 and ask for Adorned. That's 1-800-569-5959. When we tell our kids Bible stories, it's easy to focus on the moral of the story. But Bible stories offer far more rich theology than a set of rules to follow. Learn how to dig in the Old Testament for pictures of the gospel and then pass on that good news to your kids. We'll talk about it Monday here on Revive Our Hearts. Thank you. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth wants to lead you to a heart that says, Yes, Lord. The program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.